welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul, and my co-host is Justin Baker. And we are bringing you a redraft of the 2002, 2003, 2004, and the 2005 NHL drafts.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we're gonna get to work. There were some horrific mistakes made in these drafts, as there normally are. I think that more recently, teams have been getting better at evaluating players. Not so in 2002. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot in 2002. 2003, though, if you missed in 2003, you need to just go home, because there was a bevy of talent, and then we'll go from there. So how are we going to do this? We're going to start 2002, and the way that we're drafting is we're not going to go and actually go look at what team was drafting and what spot and why they might have drafted a particular position.
Right. What their needs were.
We're just going to essentially rank the players from this time period who would have the greatest impact on their team. That's how I drafted. I know that you drafted
best available.
Yeah. And I'm sure that the way that we determine that somebody's the best available, I don't value goalies probably the same way that you do.
Probably not.
So that there could be some discrepancy there. Yep.
And I value centers a little better than I do wingers. So.
Well, yes, as you should.
As you should.
As you should. So we will, I'm going to have the actual draft up on the screen. Yeah. For the year that we're working through, and that way we can see, okay, you know, hey, these are some of the players that went tops in the draft, and we can kind of see where they made mistakes. So we'll go 2002, and just to give you a little overview of where players were being picked, This was the Atlanta Thrashers' third draft in the history of their franchise. They picked second overall. You had the Columbus Blue Jackets, of course, picking first overall. The Florida Panthers were 3. The Flyers were 4. And the Penguins picked at 5. Really, I'd say the only pick that the Penguins really missed on in the upcoming years, because eventually they start hitting on everything.
Oh, yeah.
But they picked Ryan Whitney, who didn't – he wasn't
bad,
awful, but he didn't really pan out as a top 5 guy. Nashville Predators, Anaheim Ducks, Minnesota Wild, Florida Panthers with 2 picks in the top 9, and then the Calgary Flames round out the top 10. Washington Capitals had 3 first-round picks, 12, 13, and 17, and they took Steve Eminger, Alexander Semin, and Boyd Gordon.
Whoops. Boyd Gordon.
Now, Alexander Semin, that was a good value pick for this draft, I think.
Right.
But those other two, yikes.
I know.
Didn't pan out. Who did you have going first overall in this draft?
Honestly, it didn't change for me.
Still
taking Rick Nash.
Okay.
And you know what? Goal scorers are hard to come by, especially ones like Rick Nash here. But for me, I think the only reason why I didn't take anybody else over Rick Nash is looking at the fact that Nash never had a great center to play with. And given that, and still what he was able to do, made me think, boy, if you take him number 1 overall, regardless if you're Columbus or not, you find a good center for him, and he's still all world. And he's still actually playing really well. Obviously, he's not putting up the same point totals he used to, but he's still playing good
hockey.
He's
still a good player, yeah. Set 15 years later.
Right.
Still a decent player. Well, my first overall pick, I actually have Rick Nash at number 2.
Ooh.
My first overall pick is Duncan Keith.
My number 2.
So yeah. Duncan Keith goes higher than Rick Nash for me because, well, of course, it is difficult to find a goal scorer. It is maybe more difficult to find a Norris Trophy winning defenseman, a defenseman that has won a Conn Smythe Trophy. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, change where he's drafted. And we're not necessarily assuming that he would win all the same trophies if he went to a place.
Right.
But assuming his development is similar, which is obviously impossible to say.
Right. But for the sake of this draft,
right, where they were and where they ended up
and what
where would
are
I draft
now.
Them?
Yeah,
Duncan Keith, if he could have gone and been this type of player for the Columbus Blue Jackets, I think he's a much more effective player in terms of making the Blue Jackets a good team than Rick Nash was.
And that's
Duncan
fair to
Keith
say,
was
I guess.
A game changer for the Chicago Blackhawks for 10 years, and still, I mean, he still is a very good defenseman. He's not a Norris Trophy winning defenseman anymore,
right.
But a very darn good defenseman. So I'm going to take a defenseman mostly because I'm thinking it's just too hard to find a defenseman. You can find guys who can score goals, but defensemen are very hard to come by.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're looking at this draft itself, it's very hard to find good defensemen in this draft. There weren't a lot of them. So.
That too. Yeah, the next best defenseman in this draft is Jay Bouwmeester, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
And then after that, it drops off to Boychuk and maybe like a Trevor Daly or something. So, but anyways, right. we'll get to that. Number three, who'd you take?
I have the Florida Panthers sticking with their original pick, Jay Bouwmeester.
Okay, got Jay Bouwmeester.
He has been solid like a rock. Doesn't put up the points,
that's very true.
But...
He is your prototypical stay-at-home defenseman.
Yes, and he still is quick on his feet and knows how to move the puck out of the zone, and which is everything you could hope for. Obviously, he's not a Duncan Keith-type defenseman, but for me, at number three, he was still worth the pick considering what is in this draft.
That's fair. I think that considering what he was able to do even if it's a small amount of time, Cam Ward was the best goaltender in the NHL, I think, for a couple years.
He was very good.
He is probably the reason that the Carolina Hurricanes won the Cup.
Yeah, and he is my top goalie on this list, no doubt.
It's tough for... he's my top goalie, and I don't think I have another goalie in the top 20.
Wow, okay, well...
A player, so...
I have another one right behind him, but that's debatable, so...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Carey Lehtinen isn't on my list. Yeah. I see he's at 17.
So you went a little further than I did.
So Cam Ward to me is number three. I have Jay Bouwmeester at number four. Of course, if you're picking at number three of the Florida Panthers, at this point, I actually think that they had Roberto Luongo. Because, yeah, they did. They would have had Roberto Luongo because they traded for Rick DiPietro. So it wouldn't have made sense to take Cam Ward at this point.
Sure. But for me, I'm not looking at.
But
stuff
I'm not
like
looking
that,
at yeah. that either. I'm mm-hmm. just saying, I think that Cam Ward, because he had an unbelievable stretch, that if he has that stretch for my team, and we win a Stanley Cup, you just have to decide not to be an idiot and lock up that goalie forever. That's
right.
All. But I will take that short burst of unreal play.
Okay.
And give my team a shot at the Stanley Cup, whereas Jay Bouwmeester has never really gotten close to a Stanley Cup final.
Fair enough.
I think he's been in the conference finals once with St. Louis.
Yeah.
St. Louis in the conference finals?
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five, I actually took a guy who's on the St. Louis Blues now, but was taken by the Leafs.
I'll stop you.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do number four yet.
You're right.
Yeah. I have Alexander Semin.
Ah, Alexander Semin.
Yeah.
Okay. Semin at four? Why at four?
Just looking at the talent of forwards that we have in this draft. Again, not very strong, but to me, I kind of value goal scorers a little bit more unless you're a very good center in this draft. And going down the list, there weren't a ton of really good centers, if any at all.
Sure.
And then just going by, you know, what's left and looking at guys that can score goals, I kind of valued that just a little bit more than I did authentic playmakers.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's why I put him up
there. And that's fair. With my number five pick, I take Alex Steen.
Okay.
Alex Steen, he had those few years where he really exploded offensively. He scored over 30 goals a couple times and really ended up being a nice, consistent 50 to 55-point guy per year almost.
Yeah, still a valuable guy for the Blues too.
And a very good second, third line guy. He can move up. He could be on your first line. He can play the wing. He can play center. He kills penalties. A very versatile forward that a lot of teams. Imagine if the Pittsburgh Penguins had Alex Steen.
Right, oh my now. Goodness!
A guy that a lot of teams would like to have, I think. And
and he would have got drafted to Pittsburgh at number five. So that would have been fantastic.
Yeah. There you go.
Well,
and who did Pittsburgh take it? Ryan Whitney, right?
Oh, my goodness. Stop.
So, yeah, I take him at number five.
As did I.
You took him at number five.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't have Semin for a little while. So.
Well, fair enough.
Number six. Who you taking?
I can already see your list. Same guy as me. I have Valtteri Fupula. Yes. Going to the Nashville Predators. Again,
instead of Scotty Upshaw, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Phillips, I loved watching him in Detroit. I think he was highly undervalued and a little underrated at his time in Detroit, just because you sit behind Zetterberg and Datsyuk and you kind of get pushed back a little bit further in the depth chart there. But, you know, he's even shown it in Philadelphia. He has versatility, can still move his feet, has good presence at center. He can win you draws. He can quarterback a power play if you need him to and kill penalties. I mean, he can do it all. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, picking at six, you're really hoping to get a guy who could at least play in your top six. And yeah. I think that he's like, at number six, if your pick is Valtteri Filppula, that's like the bare minimum that you want to get with a number six pick.
Yeah, really?
This just shows you how tough of a draft this is.
Oh, it was bare.
At seven, I actually have Johnny Boychuk.
Ooh.
Johnny Boychuk was a very good top four defenseman for the Bruins when they won the Cup.
Yes, he was.
He came to the Islanders, and he looked really good for the Islanders.
He still looks good.
He's slowed down, but he's a top four guy still.
Yeah.
Maybe showing signs of wear and slowing down, but to find a top four player who, I mean, hey, he played on the top four for a Stanley Cup winning team. Johnny Boychuk's a very good player.
Yeah. He is. Absolutely.
And to nab him at seven, I wouldn't be mad about it.
Ducks would not be upset.
No.
And they know how to pick D-men, too.
And they would. And unfortunately, now the Ducks pick Joffrey Leupel at seven, who actually is probably better than Filppula. It's just he got injured and fell off them. Like, he just kept getting hurt.
Yeah, and considering and what other...
Certainly we can take that into account. Like, I don't want to take a player who is injury-prone. So I'm going to push them way down the list because of it.
No, of course. And considering, too, what other teams were picking in the first round, Anaheim didn't do too bad picking Leupel.
Right, so, right. Leupel is probably, outside of the top three, Leupel's the next best player.
Yeah, picked.
In the top ten.
Yeah. For Anaheim, me at number seven, I got Cam Ward going.
Okay, yeah. So. Alexander Semin is my eight pick.
Number eight.
The reason why I pushed him down so much is because... As far as everything I've ever heard about him is that he's just a cancer in the locker room.
Okay.
And so if I'm one of these teams that are they're a bad team, the last thing I want to do is bring in a guy like Semin to my already bad team.
Fair enough.
So I think that there could even be the argument made that he should go even lower and go to a team. I would only pick this player if I knew that I had strong leadership in the rest of the locker room.
Yeah.
And even then, I have him ranked as the eighth best player in this draft. I might just pass over him because I don't want him in my locker room.
Well, I see it all the time in the NFL draft. Constantly guys getting passed over just because. For me at number eight, I got Kari Lehtinen going to Minnesota.
Okay. You have him a lot earlier than I do.
Yes. And again, maybe I'm a little biased towards goaltenders a little bit more, but for me again too, he was good in Atlanta considering what was in front of him.
He certainly gets a bad rap in Dallas, but I mean he's 34
and he was pretty good in Dallas, and it's only been the last few years he sort of tapered off a little bit more.
He turned 31 and it went for him.
It happens. And actually, I mean, last week though, he put together a couple pretty good games last week for the Stars.
Was just hanging out with Antti Niemi too much.
Yeah, that really could have been it. But all things considered, though, he actually is a good backup goaltender now. And I guess when you get up to 34 years old, if you're even still a backup in this league, that's pretty dang good.
That's fair. I don't know if you remember Jani Pitkinen at all, but he was a solid top four guy, a good puck moving defenseman. And I think that it's a lot easier to find an average goalie than it is a puck-moving defenseman.
Okay.
So I picked Jani Pitkinen at nine, and then I went Matt Stajan with my 10th pick.
Ooh, wow.
Stajan's still rocking it out.
Yeah, he's still around. He just missed this list for me. Same with Pitkinen. I think for me anyways, with Yanni there, it's just his longevity sort of had me missing him. But again, the same could be said about Semin, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, he only ended up playing 535 games, but
yeah,
still a good defenseman.
I mean, hey, if you can go in the NHL and play 500 games anytime, you're
sure
you got to be good.
Yeah, yep.
But number nine for me, I have good old Johnny Boychuk.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and we've already gone over the reasons why, and I completely agree with you. Like this guy a lot, and I think he's still a serviceable top four guy in New York. So.
Who'd you have at 10?
Number 10, another guy who played in New York for a bit, Franz Nielsen.
Okay. I have Franz Nielsen at 11.
So. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Still, I think that Stajan has been more consistent over his career than Franz Nielsen. I think that Nielsen benefited from playing a little bit with Tavares or being protected by Tavares. And
that's fair to say.
Stajan had to play in Toronto where he... Gosh, Stajan was like their second best center in Toronto for a little while. That's bad.
Yeah.
He's had to play on some bad teams, and I think that, you know, if he had been put into the right situations, he could have been a nice little third-line center for a good team.
Yeah, you wonder that about a lot of these guys, though, if they've been put into the right situations.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
What do they turn out to be?
It's just lucky where you end up.
Oh, honestly, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that's why, if I was a first-round talent, I would kind of hope that maybe I get picked a little later.
Right. The only way you can really have an impact is when you are one of these franchise guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Number 12, I have Trevor Daley.
Well, we skipped over my number 11 again.
Oh, my bad.
You just keep doing that. Numbers is hard. Number 11, I got Jiří Hudler.
Okay. I have Hudler a little further down my list.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. And that might be more or less because I watched him a lot in Detroit. He still had talent. He put up just a couple seasons ago, removed a 73-point season, yeah. I believe it was, in Calgary.
With Calgary, yeah.
And now he can't get a PTO, which is just weird to me. That's somebody that shortly removed from such a good season.
Seems very strange.
There's got to be something else behind the scenes.
Or he just went way off
the edge. Well, that is possible, too. Just ask Jonathan Chichu. But,
Jonathan Chichu. 56 goals.
Yeah, why don't you say your number 12 pick again?
Okay, my number 12 is Trevor Daley. I really think Trevor Daley was a guy that was talked about pretty highly when he was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really until he went to Pittsburgh, made it to the finals, won a cup, that people started to kind of take notice of him.
Yeah, he flew under the radar.
I think he's a fine defenseman. But I think that there's a lot of pretty obvious downsides to his game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have him this far down my list because, I mean,
right.
I would take a decent defenseman over a decent forward.
Okay.
I think that it's a lot nicer to stock up on 4, 5, 6 defensemen than it is to stock up on third and fourth line forwards.
Oh, absolutely. And even if you decide to just get rid of them at a trade deadline or whatever,
right.
The value
right.
you get back is much higher too. But number 11 for me, or number 12, I'm sorry, I have Joffrey Leupel.
Okay.
And I did take a little into account the injury-ness that's been plaguing him for the last couple seasons, but for me, his great goal scorer when he was in his prime.
When he was healthy, he's been good.
And
he's only like 31 or 32 or something.
Is it really 33? Still that young?
Oh, well, wait. He has to be a certain age. He's 33.
Yeah.
I think most of these guys are 33.
Right. Yeah. Again, too, last couple of years plagued by injury, which is why I could have had him miss my top 15.
Holy shit. Except for Jonas Johnson, drafted 221st overall by the Blues.
Uh-huh.
He was 32 years old when they drafted him.
What?
He didn't play a game. Surprise, surprise. Although the Blue Jackets drafted a 28-year-old, the Lightning drafted a 28-year-old, and the Blues drafted a 28-year-old. So there were some older players taken in this draft. Very, very strange.
They're all in Europe, too, which is just weird looking at this.
Yeah, I don't think that... I think the rules have changed now.
Oh, I'm sure.
So you don't have to draft those guys anymore. Once they're a couple, 3 years removed from their draft year, I think that you can just sign them as free agents.
Unreal.
But.
Wow. Okay, number 13. Who do you got?
I have Dennis Weidman.
As do I.
All right.
Yeah,
Dennis Weidman, nice little player. Good offensive defenseman for a little bit. And mm-hmm. he's just, a lot of these players, it's just, now we're looking, it's hard to look at them now and go, well, I wouldn't want Dennis Weidman on my team now, but maybe 7 years ago I would have. Yeah. I would have been okay with it.
Absolutely.
And then my My 14, who I actually, I might have a little higher on this list if I really sat down, like thought about it longer, is Jarrett Stoll.
You know, I did think about this guy a little bit, and the only reason I think maybe he missed my list was maybe the same reason that Alexander Semin fell a little bit on your list was the off the ice issues, behind the scenes sort of stuff.
Yeah, but is that because of Mike Richards? Did he help?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you, Aaron Andrews. Why don't you come explain that one to me?
Sorry. Let me wipe my nose.
Oh, yeah. He was actually, when those LA teams, he was a great centerman for them.
He was a fantastic. He was like the ideal third line guy.
He really was.
Especially the team that grinded it out. It was like you could put him out there and he could, he was like skating through mud trying to get the puck away from him on the boards. And yeah, he was a good player in when you know in his prime, and those types of players they have from like age 22 to 27 they're good, and then after that it's just they're nothing.
Pretty much.
They have got about a 5 to 6 year shelf life.
You can't skate anymore, and you can't score. Well, bye.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, number 14, I have James Wisniewski.
Okay, yeah, James Wisniewski was a good defenseman for a little while, and
moves
then
the puck
just,
pretty well.
He really fell off.
He did.
He just
sorry, Columbus.
Actually, from Michigan.
Yeah, he is. That's true.
I have Jurij Hudler at number 15. And okay. Number 16, I had James Wisniewski. So are That's we doing fair. The top 15?
Or? We are doing 15.
Okay,
yeah.
15. Yeah. My,
you were ambitious. So.
My narrowly missed. Well, I had to put all these guys on here just because then I like to look at it and go, okay, no, I want to move him up. I'm going to move him down. So I have a little bit more on my list. But
fair enough.
Just missing my list, Kari Lehtinen, Joffrey Lupul, Jonathan Erickson, and Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah. At my 15, I've got Trevor Daly, so to close
okay.
it out.
All right.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, really. So you would have taken Kari Lehtinen, and I just would not. Well, I would take. Hey. See, when I look at goaltenders and the value that you get, it just doesn't seem to me that using a first round pick is worth it on a goalie almost ever. The only time it's worth it is when they are otherworldly.
Okay.
If they are a guy that you've deemed, this guy might be the best goaltender. He may be the best goaltender in the league at some point while we have him. And yeah. I would not look at Kari Lehtinen. I don't think at any point did anybody think Kari Lehtinen is going to be one of the top five goalies in the league.
Okay. I won't disagree with you, but for me, looking at this draft, when you...
I did take Cam Ward third overall. So
you did. Okay, so you look at guys, and especially considering the draft itself, if you say, hey, you can have a number four, number five defenseman who will, you know, stick around, you know, maybe for 7 years, or a third line center that'll stick around for, you know, he'll be decent for a decade. Or you can have a starting goaltender who will give you good numbers and will be a starter, play 60, 50 games for you for 7, 8 years, which would rather have. And for
me, but you can find that guy in a lot of places, I feel like.
Well, you're finding out right now that it's very hard to find goaltenders that can stick around and give you good, consistent numbers for 50 games
a season. The other hard thing is that people used to employ goalies differently. Like in 2002, we employed goalies much differently than we do now. I mean, Marty Brodeur at the time was playing 73, 74 games a year.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, it's so hard to compare because it is really is kind of a different time. But, I think that the value that you get in a goalie compared to, If you can get a guy who's going to be a top six forward, that's more valuable, unless the goalie is amazing.
But well, to each their own.
That is me. On to the draft of the century. this has got to be the best draft of this generation, no doubt. I don't know if there's a better draft until you look back in like the 70s when you have these Montreal Canadiens drafting five Hall of Famers in the first round because they bought people's first round picks.
They did.
But let's go 2003.
Okay.
Let's just quick little overview. At this point, the Pittsburgh Penguins were even worse than the year before, so they pick first overall. Mm-hmm. The Carolina Hurricanes get the second pick. The Florida Panthers, the third for the second year in a row. The Columbus Blue Jackets pick four. The Sabres coming in and picking five. Then you have the Sharks, the Predators, the Thrashers, the Flames, and the Montreal Canadiens closing out the top 10. So a lot of the same teams in the top five. But this year was a much different year certainly when you look at this, when you look at the list, there were some unbelievable forwards. There were good defensemen. There's some fantastic defensemen on this list. But the forward depth in this draft is crazy.
It was good.
And when you look at the top 10, it's hilarious because the Blue Jackets took Nikolaj Zverev at 4. The Sharks took Milan Mihalik at 6. Not that Milan Mihalik was a fine player. He was actually a pretty decent player. But with who all the other players that were below him, it got to kill them to know that they passed on these other guys. You had Atlanta drafting Braden Coburn, which is fine. Montreal takes Andre Kostitsyn. You had the Rangers at 12 taking Hugh Jessamine, who played 2 NHL games. And that's he's the worst first-round pick of this draft. And the Blues took Sean Bell, who only played 20 games. Other than that, every single player in this first round played at least 192 games.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. I always love when you come back like a decade later and you look at the central scouting rankings for this and you look at what they projected and what actually happened in real life, how these guys panned out. Like, for instance, like the European rankings of skaters, they have Zverev at number 1, Mihalik number 2, and then down a little further, you've got, at number 10, a guy named Barinka on D. Like, who are these people? And then, like, in North America, they had Dustin Brown rated over a guy like Getzlaff and Ryan Suter. And then at number 10, a guy named Dan Fritsch.
Dan Fritsch, yes. Fritsch,
thank you, yeah.
I remember him. There's the first round was, even though it's funny because you would almost redo a lot of the first round, but even so, there's still some very good picks in the first round. It's tough to look back and go, no, there's no way we would have done that. Because there was just, but man, you look back at LA. LA had 2 picks at the end of that first round, and they took Brian Boyle and Jeff Tambellini, and the next pick was Corey Perry. and shortly after that, the next 2 picks, Corey Perry, Patrick Eves.
Even Patty Eves has been pretty nice.
I mean, for LA, this all ends up being okay because they win 2 cups 10 years later, so it's fine. But this draft helps Anaheim win the cup in 2007.
Yeah, so. It does.
Okay, well let's whip out the old draft list.
All right, who are the Penguins taking first overall?
If I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins in this draft, now remember Sidney Crosby is not around yet.
Well, at least I'm not taking that into account.
I know, but I'm just I'm just painting a picture. Okay, is that okay?
No Crosby, no Malkin. Right. Got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we knew that Patrice Bergeron would be Patrice Bergeron, can you imagine the Penguins could have Patrice Bergeron, Sidney? Well, they probably wouldn't have. No. Everybody was put into a pot. You remember?
Yeah.
In for this Crosby draft, everyone had the same odds for the first pick.
They did.
So they would have still had Crosby.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they had Malkin, Crosby, and
something tells Patrice me they wouldn't Bergeron? Have finished where they finished the year after with Crosby and Bergeron.
But Bergeron probably would. I got a one thing that I think we'll need to check is, did Patrice Bergeron play the year after he was drafted? He did. He had 16 goals, 39 points. My guess is that he probably in his rookie year wouldn't have been enough to push the Penguins
away from Malkin.
Away from picking probably pretty high.
Okay, not picking at number 2 then. Even so, I mean.
But anyways, it's a moot point, but I would much rather have a Patrice Bergeron over a Marc-Andre Fleury. And okay. Marc-Andre Fleury is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Patrice Bergeron is probably the most underrated player of the last 15 years. It's tough to find a better player outside of Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, and even Alex Ovechkin might not even. As far as goal scoring, yes, but as far as impacting the game every time he's on the ice, Patrice Bergeron may have a more positive impact on the game than Ovechkin.
His two-way game is otherworldly. There is no doubt about it. And nobody beats him in a face-off either, which is just crazy that's a crazy underrated skill to have.
And he drives the possession, he drives the offense absolutely. For that team. He's unbelievable.
Well, he didn't go number one for me. However, he did go number two, but at number one, I have Ryan Getzlaf.
Okay, which that's fine.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it was a coin flip for me between these two guys, really. Getzlaf, another great centerman to have on your team. I mean, if you're like, oh man, I got to choose between Getzlaf and Bergeron, you're not going wrong with either one of them. You're not going to be upset with yourself at all. And it's clear both those guys helped lead their teams to Stanley Cups. And so number one, Getzlaf. Number two, Bergeron. Who'd you have at two?
I have Getzlaf at two.
Okay.
And then I have Shea Weber at number three.
As do I.
Okay.
Yeah, and think Florida. If redrafting, they get Bomeister and Weber in back-to-back years.
And in fairness, Nathan Horton was a great goal scorer.
Yeah, he was good.
A great player. He just got hurt, and that was that. He had a horrible end to his career.
Back injury, wasn't
it? Actually, he's technically still a Maple Leaf, so.
That is true. He is. Oh, no. Isn't Clarkston, though, still a Coyote, too?
Clarkston was taken by Vegas in the...
Oh, yeah, that's the, right. Okay.
Their little draft. So number three, I'm going to take Shea Weber. Who are you going to take? And I'm taking Shea Weber because he's the best defenseman in this draft.
Obviously.
And
is.
He's going to change my team.
Yeah, he was a game changer. And
Yeah.
Enough said.
Number four.
I've got Eric Staal.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. We have Eric Staal in two very different places.
Hey, that's okay. If you look at that decade in Carolina where he had such great success, he was great. I mean, he put up the points. You expect that from one centerman.
Yes.
And honestly, his production, even though it's dipped, it hasn't really fallen off that much considering what he's doing in Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he was a very good power forward centerman, which you don't actually see that often.
A poor man's Ryan Getzlaf.
Usually your wingers are your power forward guys, but yeah, a poor man Ryan Getzlaf. and there was a while where he was fast, and then he really slowed down, or the game got faster. I do not have him at four. I have Corey Perry at four.
Okay.
Corey Perry.
A little further down on my list.
He dominates in possession. He would change whatever team he would go to as well. No problem with Eric Staal. Maybe a little bit too high in terms of what he's been able to do, who he had surrounding him. I just don't think that I think that because he was overpaid too, that it kind of brought light to his name more often.
Oh, sure.
I think he's a very good player. He was definitely a number one center at a time, but he wasn't a number one center long enough for me. Whereas Corey Perry is, I mean, aside from last year, Corey Perry has been a top line winger his whole career.
Yeah.
Whereas Eric Staal to me has dipped below the top line center. Maybe 3 years ago he did. Right. And now
he had a couple
anyways.
Bad years there in Carolina to end up.
And Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf, it's sometimes it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah.
But
you start
when
playing
one or the other
game.
Are hurt, they still both drive their lines.
There's no doubt about it.
So I'm taking him at number four.
All right. What about number five? Who you got?
Oh, number five, I'm gonna take Jeff Carter.
Ooh, I've got him at number six.
I think Jeff Carter's maybe one of the more underrated players in this draft.
Yeah.
When he was on Philadelphia, he was fantastic.
40 goals.
And has just come to LA and has been lights out, too.
Yeah, he is. He's consistently given you great possession. He wins draws.
Very quiet, just quiet about it,
too. Yeah, and he's always putting high 50s, 60-point seasons.
There's a reason why Team Canada takes this guy. Yeah. Every opportunity they have, he's always seems to be on Team Canada. Number five. Oh, who do you have at number six?
Well, Jeff Carter's my number six, but at number five, I've got Marc-Andre Fleury.
Okay. Well, then we flip those two.
Yeah. Okay. So. And again, too, Marc-Andre Fleury, phenomenal goaltender, not worth a number one pick considering what's in this draft, but the guy is still lights out, and Vegas is, I mean, there's a reason Vegas grabbed him from Pittsburgh because he is still that good.
He's still very good. Yep.
Yeah. And he did lead Pittsburgh to a Stanley Cup or two. So
that is true.
Can't hate him.
That is true.
So you got him at number six. Who do you have at number seven?
Number six, number seven. I've The young Joe Pavelski.
Ooh, okay. Well, no,
Joe Pavelski to me is possession wise, he's unbelievable. He can score. He can play every position at the forward position. You know, he can play the wing. He can play center. That's my dog. If you can't hear him, and yeah, when I did this, I went down and I looked and I said, would I rather have anybody below this over this player, right?
Okay.
So I go Joe Pavelski. Would I rather have Joe Pavelski or the next guy down on this list? And there was nobody else that I would rather have more than Joe Pavelski that's lower. So that's
fair.
Why I had to go for
him. He's not that much further down on my list, but for me at number 7, I have Ryan Suter.
Well, I have him at number 8. Okay. So
yeah, there's something to be said about a guy who can give you 25 to 30 minutes a night on D and still be pretty decent point production wise. So
yeah. He plays too much in Minnesota.
He does, yes.
I think that if he were playing 23 to 25 minutes a night, that he'd be a better player. But overutilized. But yes, Ryan Suter. I mean, there's not a whole lot. There's really not a whole lot of bad that you can say about him. He's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what a coach wants.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not making noise, it's obviously not bad. And it's funny to me, if you really think about one time or another when he was still in Nashville with Shea Weber, and you think about what they were bringing back, like, can you imagine Nashville if they still had Weber, Suter, Yossi?
Oh yeah.
Ekholm, yeah. I mean, all these guys.
Yeah, they've been a factory.
I don't understand how they figured that out so well, but that's crazy to me. So, number 8. Let's see. You got Suter. Yep. I have Brett Burns.
Okay. Well, he's my number 9.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So just kind of jammed up.
Number 9, I got Corey Perry, but Brett Burns started off a little slow. Couldn't decide, you know, Minnesota, if they wanted him to play the wing, they wanted him to play D.
Yep.
And maybe that hurt his production a little bit more than some of these guys on the list, but he is still killing it. So
yep.
How can you hate that choice at number 8 for me, or even number 9 for you?
Yep. I have him at number 9. The only, and I went back and forth, Brent Burns, Ryan Suter. And I just think because Ryan Suter is, you're able to play him, I think, in more situations.
Yes.
And I think that Ryan Suter has been great for a longer period of time. Brent Burns, it took him a little while to fully develop into the player that he is now.
Yeah.
Whereas Ryan Suter was very good when he was like 22.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I was really debating who would go right above the other one. But for me, you know, if Ryan Suter's not putting up points, you're not worried about his game. If Brent Burns isn't putting up the points, you're like, where is this guy? What's wrong with
right,
him?
Right, we need him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my next 3.
Shoot them off.
Have, at 10, 11, 12, I have Eric Staal, Ryan Kesler, and Zach Parise.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Number 10, I have Corey Crawford, which, again, you can see it in Chicago how valuable this guy is. And he quietly backstopped them to, you know, a Stanley Cup and has been playing some great hockey lately, even at his age now. Number 11, I have Joel Pavelski. Little Joe, whatever you want to call him these days.
Okay, yep.
Lovely guy. And number 12, I have Zach Parise.
All right. I actually have Corey Crawford. Well, I'll give you my 13, 14, 15. Bufflin, Brent Seabrook, and then Corey Crawford's my 15.
Wow. Okay.
So I think the value you get from, I mean, there are some superstars in the 10 through 15.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach Parise has had some back problems, but like Dustin Bufflin, if you get him at 13, actually might take Dustin Bufflin before I would take Parise.
Okay.
But man, that's a hard choice because Parise was so good early on,
yeah,
but he's just had back problems. So we'll see if he can bounce back from those, but
yeah, never know next year.
I don't think that the impact that Corey Crawford has in your team is the same as what a Brent Seabrook can have on your team over the course of time.
And that's fair to say, but for me, you look at it, okay, Corey Crawford for me gets drafted at number 10, right? Goes to Montreal. His impact might be more impactful than it it is there than it would be in Chicago than what we're seeing now. So he's quietly been a good goaltender, but maybe he's looked more of a superstar, you know, elite goaltender if he's in a situation where now they rely a little bit more on his abilities. Rounding off my top 15 here, 13, I got Ryan Kesler. Again, phenomenal guy. And everybody hates playing against him.
He really actually is more of a second line guy, but just the ultimate shutdown.
Oh yeah.
Make you want to drive your head through a nail.
Yeah, he grew up right down the road in Livonia here too.
That he did.
Yeah, 14, and again, maybe a little bit more biased because hometown guys here. Jimmy Howard, if he stays healthy, you know, okay. he could easily be the number 14 guy here.
So you want Jimmy Howard over Seabrook?
Yeah.
Really? You're telling me right now you would rather have, like, let's say 5 years ago, you would have rather had Jimmy Howard instead of Brent Seabrook?
I'd rather have a good, solid goaltender.
There are a lot of goaltenders that are just like Jimmy Howard.
A good, solid goaltender that will give you good numbers than a number 2-3 defenseman, personally. But anyways.
There are so few of those. Okay.
Anyways, 15, I got Dustin Byfuglien going to the Islanders.
Okay. All right.
So that rounds out my top 15.
So missing the list, just listen to who misses the list.
Yes.
Well, Vanek's 16, which I think Vanek, you could make an argument if you needed a pure goal scorer.
He's my first missed list. This is the only draft that I actually made a just missed list, and I got Vanek, Seabrook, and Dustin Brown, but go on.
Seabrook. yeah, I have David Backes, Dion Phaneuf,
yeah,
Mike Richards, Nathan Horton, Dustin Brown, Matt Carl, Jimmy Howard, Brian Elliott, Yaroslav Halak, Louis Erickson, even Patrick Eves, Clark MacArthur, Toby Enstrom. Some darn good players. And those players are going 30th in this draft, which is just insane, especially considering that in 2002 we had Matt Stajan in the top 20. Matt Stajan wouldn't even be in the top 30 of the next draft.
Maybe not even top 40.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's probably, you'd have Duncan Keith, Rick Nash, and
maybe
like Alex Steen.
Jay Bouwmeester from
me. Yeah, Jay Bouwmeester.
Might make top 20.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, that's the 2003 draft. Shall we move on to the 2004 draft?
Let's do it. I'm interested to hear how your top two picks turned out for this one.
Ah, yes. This is the Ovechkin-Malkin draft. So the Capitals picking one, the Penguins picking two. And if you remember back to this time, the Penguins were, there was a lot of talk about the Penguins leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there was.
The city of Pittsburgh was a dump at this time. They hadn't had their bounce back
arena
yet.
Too.
Yeah, they did. The Mellon.
Oh, my gosh.
The Mellon Arena. You have Chicago picking three, and this was definitely some lean years for Chicago. Things weren't going to get better for a while, too.
Nope.
The Carolina Hurricanes picking four. Which, very ironic, to 2 years ago they make the finals, two years later they're picking fourth overall.
Yeah, I think, weren't they the first team ever to go to the Stanley Cup Finals and miss the playoffs the next year?
I think that when they won the Cup in 06, I think they missed the playoffs in 07.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. But this is 2004, okay. I'm talking about the 2002.
But I'm just
yes,
thinking
yes,
off the
they
okay,
were,
thank
yes.
you.
Sorry. Coyotes pick five, Rangers six, Panthers seven, Panthers in the top 10 again forever. The Seriously? Blue Jackets at eight. So the Blue Jackets get a little better.
A little.
The Ducks are nine, and then the Atlanta Thrashers pick 10. This draft, there was one player who played no games for the Minnesota Wilds. He was taken 12th overall. A.J. Thelen played for
Never
Michigan State.
Even heard of him.
Didn't play a single game, was a defenseman. You had, and another player, Andy Rogers, defenseman out of the Calgary Hitmen in WHL. He didn't play a game, and that was the 30th pick for the Lightning.
Good for him.
Other uneventful players, Chris Chucko played for the Salmon Arm in the BCHL. He played two games in the National Hockey League and had a whopping two penalty minutes. And then you had Marek Schwartz out of the Spartan Praha. The Czech Republic, he played six games for the Blues, and he was a goalie. I saw the stat line of zeros, and then I saw the goalie stats, and my first thought was, did this guy play six games as a goalie and six games as a forward? Yeah, he's a goalie. And then you also had Lauri Tuukkanen out of Finland for the Kings at 11 overall. He only played five games. That's bad. You're at number 11. So, I mean, between 10, 11, and 12, they played a total combined 85 regular season games, had seven assists, and were a minus 16. Oh, my. Boris Valabek, taken by the 10th overall by the Atlanta Thrashers, played 80 games and had 210 penalty minutes.
What, did this guy literally go out and fight every game?
He had to have.
Oh, my gosh.
And then
that's a fight every other game.
Yeah, there was actually quite a few players in this draft. Lucas Kasper for the Sharks only played 16. You had Alexander Pickard for the Blue Jackets. He played 67 games and had two assists.
Wow.
And then, of course, that looks like it. Everybody else played at least, you know, 100 and something games, 200 games.
So. Yeah.
Kind of a hit or miss first round, but there are some very good players in this first.
There were some good ones. Yeah.
And there's some pretty fantastic second round players. There's some steals in the second round here. Well, let's start our redraft.
Okay.
First overall in the draft, who are you picking?
I'm taking Malkin.
You're taking Malkin? Yeah. Okay.
Just because, again, there's something to be said about having a number one center over a number one winger that can score for me. You look at, again, times where, because a lot of people always make that comparison that with Sidney and Malkin playing together, like, oh, he's protected because he's playing second line centers. Well, when Sidney was out.
Oh, yeah, Malkin. That's the year that Malkin won the Hart.
Yeah,
when Sidney
was
out.
He tore it up. So, you know, we know the guy is all world. And for me, when it just, I love Ovechkin, and he's probably one of my favorite players in the NHL just because of his antics on and off the ice. But when you're trying to build a franchise and you have to decide between a number one center and a number one winger that can score some goals and maybe is a little bit more exciting, I'm still taking the center.
Yeah, I'm taking – now, not only has Ovechkin – Ovechkin has over 200 more points than Malkin, he also has managed to play – 219 more games than Malkin.
And I'll give you that.
That is four seasons worth of games. Three seasons worth of games.
Yeah.
So Malkin's missed three seasons worth of games.
Yeah, there's something to be said about longevity. Absolutely.
I think that even though he's bad defensively, Ovechkin is a leader. I think for all the stuff that has been said about him not making it past the second round,
I'm going to go ahead and
say that it's nothing to do with him.
No,
you can build around the best winger in the National Hockey League. If you can't, you're a terrible general manager, and you just say goodbye.
Well,
he's gotten snake bit a couple times, and I don't think that you can pass up. If right now we said Ovechkin is maybe the greatest goal scorer to ever play the game.
I mean,
is there anyone better that can score goals? I don't think so.
I'm going to say Bossy personally, but
Mike Bossy played in a time where goaltenders wore pads that were about as thick as their legs. Wayne Gretzky had 215 points. No one could do that now. Not even Gretzky.
So I will tell you, though,
I think Ovechkin is
in the last.
There's no one that looks like
25 years that I've been watching hockey. He has been the best goal scorer.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we're going to compare him to anybody else that he's actually played against or that we've seen,
right?
He's hands down. It doesn't even come close.
Yeah. I still remember that goal against, I think it was Arizona, where he fell on his back swept it back around him. Like, this guy knows how to find the net.
Yep. Well, I'm taking him first overall, okay. And I think he's also far more likable than Malkin. Malkin's boring as
No, I'll give you that. So, he's just plain. So he's plain Jane.
When you're drafting first overall, you're drafting for more than just points, more than just for position.
You want to put people in the seats for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And Ovechkin has changed. The Washington Capitals before this were they made it to the finals in '98, but there's really nothing exciting about the Capitals. Ovechkin changed hockey in Washington.
Yeah, Adam Oates was the last exciting player they had.
And that should tell you something, because right. Adam Oates was not flashy. He just passed the puck every freaking time. Okay, so obviously number two, I take Malkin.
Yep.
Number three, I'm curious as to see who you went with for this one.
I bet you can guess.
I don't even want
Pekka-Rinne.
Okay, yep. Pekka-Rinne. Pekka-Rinne goes five for me.
Okay.
Pekka-Rinne is a good goalie. I don't value goalies
the way
as,
I do
as high because I think that goalies are much easier to replicate. I can find a goalie somewhere else.
That's where you and I disagree, but.
And if you look at actually what goalies went high in this draft, Al Montoya.
Yeah, who's Merrick Schwartz. Back off.
Corey Schneider did go in the first round. Yeah, he did. So that's fair to Corey Schneider. But what round did Pekka-Rinne went in? He was 258th overall in this draft.
So he went. Yeah.
So to me, what does this tell you? Now we have to decide.
Goalies take a little bit more time to develop.
Well, we have to decide this. Can I develop a goalie and it doesn't really matter who they are? Or is someone destined to become something? That's what we kind of have to play out. And to me, I think that it's a lot easier to create a goalie than it is to create a number one center or create a top line winger or create a top defenseman.
If you're looking at guys like, Shea Weber, Malkin, yes, I will agree with you on that one for sure. It's harder to create those type of players.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for me, I'm going to take Blake Wheeler at number three.
Okay. I have him at number four.
Okay. And then my number four is David Krejci.
Yeah. And he's my number five.
So the reason why I don't think that you can just go create a David Krejci. I think that type of player is going to come along. Of course, you're going to develop. You have to develop.
Yeah.
But I think that it's certain teams seem to be able to develop goalies.
No, absolutely.
Whereas others can't. So I think, of course, there's an element of like, all right, if you have a Carey Price or Marc-Andre Fleury,
mm-hmm.
who looks like they're going to be a Hall of Fame goalie, you've got to take them.
Yeah.
Because that's a game changer. But most goalies, aside from the top five or so, most of them are right in the middle. And so that to me says that you can kind of, if you take four or five guys, you can throw them into a pool and one of them will come out and you put the right team around them and they can be serviceable.
Yeah, well, for me, it boils down to the fact that goalies can be such game changers, just like number one centerman can. But like you look at teams that make the playoffs and have success in them. For instance, New York Rangers a couple years ago when they made it to the conference finals, they didn't really have an all-world number one center. They had a good goaltender to carry them their way. And that's, to me, what goaltenders can do. Sidney Crosby, yes, he can carry a team.
But it doesn't win you Stanley Cups. It gets you far in the playoffs. It doesn't win you Stanley Cups.
Who's
the last team to win a Stanley Cup where you go, that wasn't a good team, but they had an amazing goalie?
Well, no. And that, again, boils down to the team aspect of everything. You still have to go out and score goals. You still need guys to put pucks in the net. But for me, if I would rather have just a slightly not a number one center. I'll take a top, number 10, number 9, number one center in the league. Versus missing out on a top.
So you'd rather be Montreal than Pittsburgh?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You want that good goalie instead of the top center?
Well, come on. Pittsburgh still have Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury. So
they don't have Marc-Andre Fleury anymore.
They did. He's gone. Come on.
Okay, so you would rather be the New York Rangers
mm-hmm.
over, let's say, let's say
the Dallas Stars. There's a number a good number one center with Tyler Seguin, right? I would rather build a team around a team or like a goaltender, like for instance.
So you would rather be Montreal than Dallas.
I'd rather build around Carey Price than I would build around Tyler Seguin, is what I'm saying.
But Montreal has had Carey Price this whole time, and
they're not building around
him. For
the
life of them, they cannot find a number one center.
No, and that's
exactly what I'm saying is that you can't find number one centers. You can't just go out and hope somebody's going to become a number one center.
No, I won't disagree with you.
You have to draft one.
Looking at
you could find
draft.
A goalie. Whereas Dallas, Dallas went, oh, let's see if we can use Niemi. Nope, not good. That was a dumb decision to begin with.
Dallas traded for
Carey Lehtinen. It was okay in the beginning, and then he kind of faltered. And they go, oh, we'll go get Ben Bishop. We'll acquire him. I mean, I think that. To a certain extent, it can work where you, okay, who can play goalie for us? Okay, we found this guy who's good enough. great, we have a sweet team around us.
Yeah, but what team has won a cup with a goalie that's just good enough? I mean, the last time I can think of a team that came close was Michael Lehtinen in Philadelphia. So,
yeah, yeah, that was fascinating. That was a great year. See, I don't think that Jonathan Quick's that good. I think if you look at his numbers, he had an amazing two runs, but if you look at his numbers, he's basically an average goalie.
Well, that's where you and I will disagree, but
not if the numbers say that he's average. The average is a 920 or like a 919 goal save,
which is still
right?
Pretty dang good.
Yeah, it's very good, but that's average.
I would say that's above average.
But I'm saying if you take all the goalies in the league, when you look at the save percentage of the average goalie,
mm-hmm.
and it comes out to a certain number, whoever is above that is above average save percentage.
Well, of course, that's how it
or
works.
Below, and he's right around the average. So I mean, yeah. he's not necessarily in the top five of goalies, but he's a good goalie. He's good. He's good.
He's very good.
He's good.
Yeah, he's very good.
Right, right. And when it comes to goalies, he's even being a top 15 goalie. If you're a top 15 defenseman, you're a number one defenseman on a team, right? If you're a top 20 defenseman, you're probably a number one defenseman on your team. Whereas a goalie, if you're a top 30 goalie, if you're the 30th, you're garbage. You're not a good goalie.
I think that sort of backs up my point of how valuable it is of finding top.
But that's the thing is that there's so few positions that you look. There's teams that the difference between number 30 and number one, once you kind of get into the middle, okay, number 30 might be bad, number one's unreal, but once you get into the middle, it's pretty squishy. I think you can probably swap out different guys. And
yeah, but you look at teams that are trying to find number one goaltenders like Calgary and Philadelphia that just can't see.
Calgary doesn't have a number one center.
Well,
no, Sean Monahan is Johnny Gaudreau. Sean Monahan with no Johnny Gaudreau, what is he? He's nothing.
Well,
he's a decent. He's
I think
a good
one day
goal
we'll
scorer.
Find out.
He's a good goal scorer. That's it.
Okay. But anyways, getting back to the draft, at number three for me, Pekka Rinne, just looking at would I rather take Krejci or Rinne, for me it was Pekka Rinne. So that's why I have him at number three after all that long, lengthy, argumentative talk back and forth. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're only on number three. So I go Wheeler, Krejci, and mm-hmm. Rinne.
Okay.
I still take Rinne in the first round
yeah.
because I do think that Rinne has – He is a very good goalie.
Yeah.
He's very good.
We've got the same.
And
top
he's
five.
Been very good for a long time.
Absolutely.
That to me is also another big thing is that a lot of goalies are good for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have this prime and they're good and then that's it. Whereas Rinne, I mean, Rinne's lasted a good solid amount
yeah,
of time.
Absolutely.
So
cool. So I have him at three. Four, I have Blake Wheeler. Five, I have David Krejci.
Okay, and at six?
Six, I got Corey Schneider. Who do you got?
Okay, I have Corey Schneider, and then I have Devin Dubnyk. So after all this talk,
you put two goalies.
I'm going to take these two goalies. But honestly, it's because, again, when I look below, I go, all right, my next few guys, I don't think that they have the same kind of impact that these particular goalies have had on their teams.
Okay.
There's a lot of goalies that if we're talking about a number one center, there's mm-hmm. no way that I'm leaving that number one center on the board and taking a goalie.
Right.
And Krejci, I think there's an argument to be made that he has been a number one center. I mean, it's okay to me that he's now slowing down after 13 years.
Yeah, that's his contract doesn't
pretty normal.
Doesn't help it much, but
no. But I'm not taking into account any of that because
no,
my team wouldn't have signed him to that
to
kind
seven
of
mil
deal.
A season. Oh goodness. Okay.
Because I'm not insane.
Right. Number seven for me, I have Mike Green.
Okay. All right.
So there's something to be said. You don't see too many of them when you have a defenseman that can put up 30 goals,
yep.
70 points
Absolutely.
In a season. They're very hard to come by. Obviously, we just gave Brent Burns a nice little trophy for doing that. Green did not
That's
get
right.
that for when he was in Washington. But
76 points, I think he had 1 year.
Yeah. Crazy. After that, though, I do have at number eight Devin Dubnyk because, again, looking at the guys below him, it was just difficult for me to say I would rather take those guys over Dubnyk.
Yep. Eight, I have Andrew Ladd. Nine,
okay.
I have Alexander Edler. And at 10, I have Mike Green.
Okay.
So I have Mike Green a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Because, I think that his point totals were very much inflated by some amazing seasons from Alexander Ovechkin and
Backstrom. And
yeah, I think he was the guys he was playing with impacted his game more than him impacted it. And I think that his longevity, he had some amazing seasons, and for a few years it was like, ooh, where'd Mike Green go? And so he really fell off the map, and I think that that maybe, again, is indicative of the fact that other players were actually driving his play. Andrew Ladd, to me, especially when he was in Chicago, and then he, you know, of course he gets traded to Atlanta, goes to Winnipeg. I think he was an important part of that Winnipeg team in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Great locker room guy. I always loved watching him play, and of course, he slowed down a little bit. His new contract with the Islanders doesn't look that good.
No.
But that's, again, that's not my fault that they signed him to that deal. But he had a very good prime, and his type of player, a fast power forward goal scorer.
Yeah, those are difficult.
Those are hard to find.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll take that on my team. So,
yeah, that's why I have him at number 9 for me. Number 10, I have Alexander Radulov, though.
Oh, you know what? I do not have Radulov on here at all.
No?
Goodness. And that's just a
just a mental error.
You know why? It's because, so the way I did this was I would go and I would sort by goals, I would sort by assists, by points, plus minus, and games played for some of the different stats.
Okay.
And because he didn't play.
Yeah, he jumped ship a while to the KHL.
Yeah. He did go 15th overall.
Yeah.
But he's only played 264 NHL games.
Then he slept in a missed practice. And,
isn't that funny? He's only scored 76 goals in the NHL.
Yeah. He's...
Which, now, okay. Would you take him this high if you knew he was going to do exactly what he did?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. If I knew he was going to do what he did,
so
not
if you
all.
Thought you could make him stay.
He would probably be a third round pick for me. If I knew he was going
to, I don't think I would just say I'm not taking him. I'll wait till he's
comes
31 and comes back and is good and he can play on my power play.
Right.
Okay, so that's fair. I have an 11. Who do you have?
Brandon Dubinsky.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A great centerman, a guy who can also play the wing very well when needed. Has a good two-way game.
Yep.
And does not. I mean, his point totals aren't great, but they're good. So, for what he is,
okay,
and I respect it.
Okay. So. Yeah, I have Travis Zajac at 11.
Ooh. Okay, he's a little further down on my list, and by further down, I mean all the way at 15. But
okay.
Still in there.
Brandon Dubinsky was 14. So I have Zajac at 11 because, A, he's a centerman, and I think that he kind of get buried in New Jersey a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good when he played alongside Zach Parise. Maybe one of the better centers that Zach Parise's played with.
Yeah, he was.
Because Parise has been good in Minnesota, but he was much better playing alongside Travis Zajac.
Yeah.
And a very underrated defensive centerman.
Yeah.
Really good penalty killer.
He's been good. Yeah, I'll give him that.
I like him at 11. And then I actually have Mark Strait and Andre Sekera at 12 and 13.
Okay.
So I'm going to value those top four defensemen. Mark Strait was a very good defenseman earlier.
Yes.
I mean, of course, now... Now he's...
His offensive capabilities were very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 12 for me, I've got Alexander Edler. Guy, you had a little higher up on the list.
Yeah, I have Edler at 9.
Yeah, great defenseman. He's still actually a pretty decent defenseman.
He's still a top four defenseman. I mean, he's Vancouver's top defenseman.
He really is.
So, I mean, we're talking a guy going number 9 overall who's a team's number one defenseman.
Yeah, and it's weird to me, too. The Wings, the better part of a decade, all I hear was the Wings trying to make a trade for this guy, trying to trade for him for like the last 5-6 years. And to this day, I guarantee you, if they had an opportunity to trade for him, they would in a heartbeat.
Well, I don't think anymore.
Well, yeah. But anyways, remember how
the Red Wings aren't good anymore?
Let's not. Speaking of Red Wings, number 13.
You know, actually, I think I would take Alexander Edler maybe more like 6 or 7.
Wow.
I think I might take him a little higher.
Okay.
Well, now I'm thinking like he's actually a number one defenseman on a team, which means most teams he'd be a 1 or a 2. Right?
Yeah.
How many teams would he not be a number one defenseman on? Teams with Norris potentials.
Yeah.
Other than that, he'd probably be a number one guy.
Yeah. That's fair to say. Number 13, I have Johan Franzen.
Okay.
Good goal scorer, good power forward type guy.
Yeah, if he hadn't gotten hurt.
I know. That was the big iffy with him. 14, I've got Alex Goligoski.
Okay. I have him at 15. So
okay.
I go Dubinsky, Goligoski, and then I had Franzen just missing my list, along with Chris Versteeg. Ryan Callahan, Drew Stafford, and Troy Brower.
Okay. Good list. Yeah, and then, like I mentioned earlier, 15, Travis Agee.
A very good goalie draft.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, you got Pekka-Rinne, Corey Schneider, and Devin Dubnyk all in the top 10 players.
Too bad. I think the next year, their goalie drafts maybe a little better.
Yeah.
Maybe a little better. But
let's find out.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
All right. Let's go 2005. Last year we're going to redraft. We've been going for an hour and 5 minutes.
Have we? Wow.
Just on the draft. Right. If you're still with us, you're amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna smash through this one. Now remember, this is the draft where everyone had the same opportunity at the first overall pick. So all the slottings had nothing to do with whether you were a top team or bottom team or not. So interesting little tidbit about this draft. When they were doing the little balls or whatever.
The lottery
stuff. The first overall pick came down to two teams.
Okay.
Do you know what other team had a 50-50 chance at the first overall pick?
I'm going to guess the Red Wings.
It was the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Can you imagine how the course of history would have changed if Crosby went to Toronto?
Well, I can tell you they wouldn't have Austin Matthews, but...
No. Good chance they wouldn't, but I would probably still take Sidney Crosby absolutely over him. But, yeah, pretty amazing. The balance of power in the league would actually be quite different.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, Malkin would have been a number one center in Pittsburgh and wouldn't have had Crosby. And, yeah, it would have been interesting. But anyways, so the obviously we know it's the Penguins picking Crosby first overall, and I can't imagine that either one of us went off the board for that.
Oh boy.
And then we have Anaheim at two, Carolina, Minnesota, Montreal, Columbus, Chicago, San Jose, Ottawa, and Vancouver rounding out the top 10.
Ooh.
There were a lot of misses in this draft. Actually, there were three players who didn't play a single game in the NHL. Marek Zagrapan for the Sabres at 13, Sasha Pokalek for the Capitals at 14, and at 16, Alex Bourré. Out of the queue. So two of those players out of the queue, MJHL. So, and then a couple other misses. You had Matt Pellick for the Flames. He played 13 games, had a goal and three assists. Joel Finley. I remember Joel Finley for the Capitals. People were talking about how he'd be a good offensive defenseman.
Yeah.
Yep, 21 games, he had one assist.
Very good.
Tampa Bay for the second year in a row. Now, looking back, obviously at the time, they wouldn't have known. But 2 years in a row, they actually picked last in the draft.
Oh, goodness.
So they pick last because they win the cup. The next year, it's a random draw, and they happen to pick last again. And this pick played 15 games and had three assists, and their 04 pick played no games.
Wow.
So two first-round picks, and you get 15 games out of the two. Wow. That is rough. Also, the Islanders with Ryan O'Mara played 33 games for them. Luke Bordone for the Canucks played 36. And Matt Lashoff for the Leafs played 74 games. So.
Wow, okay.
And Kendall McArdle for the Florida Panthers played 42. So definitely a few more misses in this first round than the rest of them, but definitely some big hits as well.
I'd say so.
Let's
get into it.
Let's hear your first overall pick.
Well, we both have the same one. I mean,
I'm surprised you didn't pick Carey Price.
Stop it.
Come on. Let's say, would you rather have Carey Price or
Oh my gosh, no. Absolutely. I would take Sidney Crosby all day. Yeah.
You're sure.
Stop it. I'm not going to.
I'm serious. I feel like you want to take him though.
No, not at all.
No?
Not
Nothing
at all.
In you says it? Okay.
No,
all right.
Not
all
even
right.
a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, but at number two, who'd you take?
Carey Price.
Okay, I'm taking Anze Kopitar.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, respectable.
Yeah. I just put this list together, but now I'm realizing that actually I would rather have Anze Kopitar over Carey Price.
No?
Because, let's be honest, what has Carey Price done for the Montreal Canadiens? What has Anze Kopitar done for the LA Kings?
His
impact has been greater on the Kings than Carey Price has been on the Montreal Canadiens. So I'm taking Kopitar at two, and then I'm going to take Carey Price at three. There's no one else. Those are the three superstars in this draft. After that, you have some excellent players,
yes.
But there's no, in my mind at least, franchise changing players.
Yeah. For me, at number three, Kopitar. Right up there, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
However, my four and five picks, you are not going to like at all because I have Quick at four and Tuukka Rask at five. Because, again, you look at what I have below it, and I just, I can't. I would rather have that franchise goaltender than the guys below on this list. So,
okay. You'd rather have an average NHL goalie.
Stop it. Come at me, bro. I can't. I'm leaving this room.
Over Chris Letang.
Stop it.
A number one defenseman.
A guy that can't stay healthy.
Recently. I mean, he had a freaking blood clot or something. Mark Edward Vlasic might be better than... I actually struggled. I went between. So at 4-5, I have Letang and Vlasic. I struggled. I thought maybe I'd put Vlasic ahead of him. And maybe if he was on the East Coast, like if Letang played for the Sharks and Vlasic played for the Penguins, that it might be might change my opinion.
There's a reason Canada puts Vlasic on the Olympic roster.
The top line.
I know.
The top
with Drew Doughty.
Yep.
Or Shea Weber. I can't remember who it was, but
I think both of them.
Still.
So I did take Tuukka Rask and Jonathan Quick in my top 15 at least.
That's
maybe glad
okay.
to know.
Okay, good.
They'll come a little bit later.
I would have to leave right now and let you finish this off.
Tuukka Rask, do you know who he was drafted by? In this draft, I think he went 24th overall, I want to say.
The Islanders?
No, actually, he didn't. He went 21st overall to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I think that was, wasn't that, what trade was that where they got the other goaltender they got back in that? Was it Pogue, Justin Pogue?
No, he was the one that they wanted to keep.
That's right.
They traded for Andrew, was it Andrew something? We'll have to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Number six, I have Christopher Letang.
Okay.
For me.
All right.
Yeah.
Number six, I have Nicholas Hjalmarsson.
Wow. He,
Nicholas Hjalmarsson was a number one defenseman playing behind Keith and Seabrook for years.
Yeah, he was a little further down on my list, but phenomenal defender. I'll give you that. There were actually quite a few pretty dang good defensemen in this draft. So.
Right. This is a very good defensive draft.
Yeah.
Ironically, let me name the defensemen that went here in the top 20. Jack Johnson, Brian Lee, Luke Bordone, Mark Stahl, Sasha Pokaluk, Ryan Parent, Jakob Kindl, Matt Lashoff. We already have taken Chris Letang, Mark Edward Vlasic, and Nicholas Hjalmarsson, and there's still a few other really good names in here. The only one that I have even in my top 20 is Jack Johnson.
Wow. All right.
So they knew defensemen were good, but they just picked the wrong ones.
All right. Number seven, who do you got?
I have T. Joshi.
Ooh, okay.
To Joshi.
Mr. Shootout.
Yes. Yeah, I think that he's proven that he can drive a line, and he looks good doing it. So.
Yeah, okay. Number seven, I have Pickle, Mark Edward Vlasic. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but at number eight, I have James Neal.
Okay. Well, I have Matt Niskanen.
Ooh.
I just look at the way Niskanen, he was great for the Penguins, comes over to Washington, and he's maybe their most underrated player on that team. I mean, look at it just this year, he goes down, they lose almost the whole time he's out, he comes back, and they tear it up.
That's fair to say.
He's a very good defenseman, very underrated. James Neal, though, there's not much bad you can say when you're talking about a guy who can score 30, 40 goals every single year. And I guess just because he's a winger would be the reason why I would take a top pairing defenseman over James Neal.
Yep. All right. Cool. So number nine, I've got TJ Oshie.
Okay, all right, and I have James Neal. So, number 10,
I have Ben Bishop.
Ah, okay, you're taking more goalies.
More goalies.
You took four goalies in the top 10.
I did.
No, see, Ben Bishop to me isn't that good. He's an average goalie at best.
Yeah, he was pretty saucy in.
No way am I taking him top 10. I do have Tuukka Rask at 10. Tuukka Rask in his prime was amazing. And then I do have Jonathan Quick at 11. You'll be happy to know.
Thank you.
I did pick a couple goalies. Then who'd you take at? Who'd you take 10, 11?
11? Number 10, I had Ben Bishop.
Okay, yeah.
11, Anton Strahlman.
Anton Strahlman. Okay. Yeah,
I have really quietly so good for Tampa.
He is a good player. Leafs actually had Anton Strahlman. They just let him go. Dumb. But I have Patrick Hornqvist at 12, and then I have Strawman at 13. So
okay,
I could very much see swapping those two, though. I would have no problem taking Strawman a little bit earlier. I think that he's developed well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next for me, I have Keith Yandel.
Yeah, so do I at 14.
All right.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. You said 14? I'm on 13.
Oh, you have 13. Okay, yeah, 13. I have Strawman at 13, Yandel at 14. Okay. You.
Yeah, 14, I've got Patrick Hornquist. So.
Okay. All right, so basically we have four guys, and we just moved them around pretty a little much. Bit. Yeah, Keith Yandel is a guy who's, it's easy to kind of forget about him now, but he was a very good defenseman with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
When he was playing with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, at one point he was better than OEL.
Yeah.
And then OEL, of course, surpassed him. Then Yandel went to Florida. And
he's still doing good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still solid defenseman.
Yeah, absolutely. And then rounding out your top 15.
I have Ben Bishop.
Finally. There he is.
Yeah. But Ben Bishop, I have just missing Paul Stastny, Bobby Ryan.
Okay.
Bobby Ryan gets a bad rap because he's a horrible contract.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby Ryan had some 50 goals. Do you have 50 goals 1 year? Didn't he?
I don't know.
I'm gonna have to look at this. But he had
those
solid
Anaheim seasons were great.
Some solid years. I'm sorry. He had 31, 35, 34, 31 goals.
Nothing to be ashamed
of.
So
4 30 goal seasons. He's played well. It's just he's just not in the right contract, and
he's not in the right system
either.
But
aged well either. But yeah, you're right. He's not in a good. He's not in a system where he can succeed. I mean,
no.
He's been fine, but he didn't age well at all.
Nope.
He slowed down. I think the game changed on him, and he slowed right down so.
A little bit. Closing out 15 for me though, Paul Stastny.
Okay, I had him at my 16.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I like Paul Stastny. I think when he was in Colorado, he was maybe used a little bit more as an offensive player, and now in St. Louis, he's pushed down the lineup. But he's a good player.
Yeah, I had Jarmy just missing, and Bobby Ryan, Jack Johnson, and guys like that too. So
yeah, there's some other good. I mean, Justin Abdelkader, yeah. Andrew Cogliano, Martin Hansel, Mason Raymond, Darren Helm. I even have Andre Pavlik in the
wow.
At going 22.
I mean, considering what was left in the draft, yeah, maybe.
Sure.
So,
which Andre Pavlik, he people thought that he could maybe be decent, and I think he's essentially been a good backup.
Yes, absolutely.
Who was played way too much.
Yeah.
Overvalued, absolutely. But a good backup. Yeah. It's funny though, because if like, all right, so, you know, this is the first round and these are really the players who were productive. I have them on my list. There's only 24 of them who were really good players.
Yeah.
And even a guy like, let's say you go and you take Jack Johnson or Justin Abdelkader at 20. You're still like, what's going on? We need this guy to do well.
Yeah.
And you think, man, there's so many first-round picks that miss.
I know.
And that are just, I mean, they can be okay, but I mean, shoot, even like guys like number 12, Mark Stahl goes to the New York Rangers. Mark Stahl's fine.
He's slowed down.
But he's slowed down.
Oh, gosh.
But man, some of these guys who even go on to play a lot of games, like Steve Downey, he was in this draft and he played 434 games.
Yeah. Andrew Cogliano though, man, he was the most recent Iron Man.
Yeah.
Until he got hurt, which was
and Cogliano has put together a nice little career.
Yeah, he really has. He's a serviceable third line guy.
Yep. He's one of the better third line centers.
Can move up second line if needed in a pinch. And
absolutely. Yeah. Well, that is our 2002, 3, 4, and 5 NHL drafts. We will we'll have more of these as the season goes along.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
keep redrafting a few of the next ones 6, yeah. 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, why not?
The ones that get a little closer are kind of they'll be different because we don't have their whole careers.
Right.
These guys essentially their careers are on the downswing, of course, except for maybe a couple of them. But but the guys that are drafted in say 2009, they're in their prime right now. So
yeah,
should be fun. Well, that is that's our show.
Yeah,
hope you enjoyed it.
I hope you agree with every pick that I made and none that Mark made. So.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely tweet at us. Let us know, would you take goalies this high? obviously I would. I'd take all the goalies, first, second, third overall.
Of course you would.
Every year, that's what I'd do. Well, thanks for listening to the show. We will be back at it after Christmas. Merry Christmas if you're listening to this around the holiday season and you celebrate that kind of thing. Maybe Happy Hanukkah or good December 25th to you.
Yes, have a safe new year too.
Great Festivus, whatever.
For the rest of us.
But yes, yes,
yep.
Yes. All right, well, Merry Christmas, Justin.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too.
All right, okay. Cheers.